Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Today, we're joined by brothers Davin and Creed Thompson, two of BYU's top distance runners in both cross-country and track. Davin and Creed are triplets, along with their sister Sage, who competed in gymnastics at Oregon State and Utah. Creed is fresh off earning first-team All-American honors in the 10,000 meters and the 2025 NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Davin recently claimed his first collegiate victory at the Autumn Classic and was named both the USCF CCCA National Athlete of the Week and Big 12 Runner of the Week. Together, they were part of BYU's 2024 NCAA Championship Cross Country team, building a powerful family legacy of grit, faith, and excellence. Guys, thank you so much for being here with me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
The life of a student athlete is nuts as it is, but then you guys add on a marriage. And not a normal marriage, because you're married to BYU track and field runners Lexi Goff and Carly Hansen. What's a day in the life look like for the two of you? Let's start with Creed.
Unfortunately, our practices do not line up very well. So I'm usually in practice while she's in class and vice versa. So we don't spend a lot of time together. Usually go to dinner together, do some homework, go to bed. So not a... I don't know. The teams aren't super combined between men and women, but it's super cool to be able to both be super committed to our sports and work on various things together.
You guys give each other a high five midday.
Yep.
Like, see you tonight.
Yep. That's about it.
What about for you, Davin? What's it like?
Same thing. We just debrief all the practice lore over dinner and, yeah, have a good evening together, but it's not the most glamorous lifestyle as an athlete. Up early, working hard. And doing homework, and it's fun, but yeah, we don't see each other a ton.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, Division I athletes, both of you, it's a lot, and your students, like we mentioned. So when you guys go home, is it, you mentioned you kind of talk about practice and stuff. Do you try and stay away from talking about running and track and connect in a different way, or is it kind of all track all the time?
It's both. I think we both enjoy talking about it because that's what we love to do. But we're also very balanced, like, especially on Sundays when we're going home to our families, like, I feel like we never talk about running. It's more talking about school and just having a good time with our family, playing games. Mm-hmm. So track's our life. So, yeah, that's obviously a lot of it. But it is nice to kind of escape for a little bit.
What about for you and Carly?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's hard to avoid it because all of our best friends are on the team. And if we're not running with them, we're hanging out with them, playing board games with them, and naturally running comes up. But, yeah, it's nice to go home, do some homework, watch a show, and just kind of forget about it until the mm-hmm. next day.
Let's start with a few fun questions. You both run distance for the Cougars, but who would win if you went out to the track and did a sprint right now? We'll say, let's say 100 meter. Who's going to win between the two of you?
Between us two?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, actually.
I don't know. We aren't the quickest on the team at sprinting.
I think there's no way you've never raced each other. Like growing up,
I think growing up, I probably edged Creed out a little bit over like shorter distances.
Yeah.
But I'd say right now, I'd probably bet on myself because Creed's in the depths of marathon training. He's lost his fast twitch fibers a little bit.
You're more but the
if we raced over track
season, over track season, Creed would have annihilated me.
Okay.
Creed had some good speed there at the end of track season.
Yeah, but I'm doing lots of slow, long workouts. So, yeah, Davin might have me right now.
Slow is like 440 mile pace. So.
Yeah, it's just absolutely insane. All right, who's the most competitive outside of running?
I think Creed is. Yeah, Creed comes off to most people is pretty shy and mild-mannered. But if we start playing, like, video games with, like, our teammates on travel trips, Creed's usually the first guy to, like, lose his mind and start screaming.
I'm kind of a rage monster, I'm not going to lie. So.
You keep it buried until the perfect moment, and then it just comes out?
Yeah. Or, like, literally anything. I think we're both just so competitive that we also find competitive outlets outside of running. So one thing we like to do, which Coach Iaston kind of banned us from, is disc golf.
Really?
Yeah, we love disc golf, and Creed.
Super fun.
Yeah. It's like every time we're taking a break from homework and like eating lunch, Creed's like watching disc golf videos, and he's like, I need to get better. Yeah. We always say that we're one injury away from going pro in disc golf.
Wait, disc I want to know fun. Why it was banned. Were you guys spending too much time in
No, I think it? We have a history with pubic bone injuries.
Oh, yeah, like in our pelvis.
Coach Eston just gets scared about us getting injured again, so he doesn't want us to do anything that could
it's like
risk.
Just like nothing. So yeah. It's not just like disc golf specifically. Yeah. He's like, we don't want you to do anything else.
Yeah.
All right. Who's more likely to oversleep for practice?
Probably me. Davin is always the one that, I mean, we roomed together our whole lives, obviously, including at BYU for our first 3 years, and Davin was always the one with the earlier alarm, turning on the light and waking me up, so yeah. Probably me.
But we're both pretty diligent. Like, I don't know if either of us pretty have ever pressed snooze on our alarm.
Well, I feel like at this level, you got to be pretty disciplined to be the elite athlete that you are. All right, what's your favorite race or course that you've ever run? We'll start with Creed.
I don't know. We might have the same answer, but I'd say the course that Nationals was at last year, it's in Wisconsin, the Tom Zimmer cross country course. It's hilly. It's got some nice grass, a good mix of not like crazy hilly, but not flat either. I think that plays to my strengths. And
it's cold.
It's always cold there. We like that. We race really well in the cold, and I've also had my best races there. So I think that kind of makes me biased, but
wow.
Yeah. So
Kevin, what about for you?
I do love that course. Coach Eiston always makes the joke that course is the celestial kingdom of cross country courses. And it is a beautiful course. I think I actually would say the Oklahoma State cross country course, which is pretty notorious for like being the hardest cross country course in the NCAA. I had a great season a few years ago and we raced that course twice and I love it. It's like the hills are steep and brutal. But the grass is like perfectly manicured. It's super pretty out there when it's green, like around this time of year. But when it gets to Nationals time in like November, it's like dead and windy and like 28 degrees. But we both like cold weather and hard courses because it kind of weeds out the guys that aren't quite as tough when it gets hard.
I like it. You guys like a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's cross country season, and Davin, you just picked up your first collegiate cross country win at the Autumn Classic. How would you describe what that race was like for you?
Yeah, it was fun. It's definitely interesting coming into this season because we lost five of our top seven runners from Nationals last year. And James Corrigan, who is the other returner other than me, he's just getting back from a late track season. So he didn't race. He's still getting back into the swing of things. So it's definitely been interesting being like the big dog and like the leader on the team. Because before there was seven of us who were all leaders, were all really good. And we're pushing each other every day. And I still have guys on the team that push me every day. But I'm like the old guy now that knows everything. And I've been there, done that. So we have tons of new guys that are just kind of stepping into the limelight. So super cool to be a leader and be there for them and be an example. So it's pushing me to be better every day. And the race was super fun because we got to have fun the first couple miles together. Our plan was to run a little more controlled the first 2 miles, pack it up, have fun, and then the last 2 miles, squeeze down the pace and make it hard. It wasn't this most competitive race, so it was just fun to kind of have fun with the guys and not take it too seriously because it's a sport and it's fun. That's why we do it. So just had a good time out there.
The mentality of runners is just mind-blowing to me. Because just you're like, oh, yeah, the first 2 miles, we're just having a good time. Like, as if it's, like, nothing, and I'm, like, sweating bullets over here just thinking of doing that. You guys are incredible athletes. Creed, at Outdoor Nationals, you closed with a 55-second final lap to finish eighth in the 10K. What do you remember clicking for you in that last lap?
Yeah, like we mentioned before, we haven't ever been the best sprinters, naturally. We're more slow twitch runners, don't have much fast twitch, and that's something that I really improved this last season. I was able to finally practice on my kick, my leg speed, so I could really compete in that last lap, especially in a slow tactical race, because if it's a super fast race, generally you don't have to close as hard the last lap, but it was a slow tactical race, so you need to have that speed at the end. I think just practicing every day with iStone and Coach Waite, just doing strides, trying to get my legs stronger in the weight room so I could have that pop on that last lap. And Coach Iston peaked me perfectly. I started feeling really good the week of Nationals and tried to put myself in a good position with a lap to go and found myself with just some extra juice down the last stretch. So I was able to snag eighth place, which I was happy with, and get a 400 PR that last lap as well, which was cool.
Yeah, I'll interject myself. I think Creed ran his fastest 400 meter and 800 meter ever on the last couple laps that race. And he ran the same at Big 12 championships and outdoor championships. They're both tactical races. I feel like he went out pretty conservative the last lap compared to everyone else. And then the last 100, he just passed like five guys. And it was like a nail biter, you know, you're like waiting. And then he leans out the line, gets some. So
yeah,
super cool.
So it was fun. It was super fun to like bring that together and show myself that I have that like speed. So super cool.
Yeah, you were the second fastest American in that field. Did that shift how you see your ceiling as a runner?
Yeah, I think stepping on that podium was kind of surreal. I think just looking back at high school, it's cool to see like how far I've come. I think it's easy to not see the progress you've made when you have such big goals for yourself, and it's easy to have regrets and think you're not doing as well as you want to be. But stepping on that podium is like, wow, like these are some of the best athletes in the world. The guy that won that race actually just got fourth in the world in the 10K, so wow. Really good. And it's cool to know that I've made it where I want to be, and there's always more to come, always more to improve on. But yeah, it was super cool to realize that I've started to achieve my goals and dreams under Coach Iston and his training. So
you're up there with some of the best in the world. It's pretty incredible. Davin, running at this level takes so much physically and mentally. How do you stay hungry without feeling the burnout?
Yeah, it's definitely hard, especially I feel like with my career, it's been tough. I came into college, obviously good enough in high school to get recruited here, which was awesome because great program. But I ran well my first couple of years, and then I was hurt for 2 years straight. And it's like really hard to like believe in yourself as a runner after not racing for 2 years and barely running at all. So all the doubt creeps in, like, oh man, maybe I wasn't meant to be a runner. Like, what if I'll never compete again? Maybe I'll never get better. I'll never improve. Just tons of, like, doubtful thoughts that you can easily just spiral under. So it's definitely been a learning curve to come back from that and kind of retrain my brain to be confident in myself and to love it instead of put pressure on myself. Oh, I need to be better than I was in 2022. I need to be better than that version of Davin. But I've learned that I just need to let go of that and improve from where I'm at, because it's unfair for me to not take anything from those 2 years that I was hurt, because I did learn a lot. So I'm a completely different runner than I was back then, and it's different. So it's hard to learn how to love the sport just for the fact of pushing your limits every day and getting better without putting the pressure on yourself of, oh, my goal was to be an All-American, or my goal was X, Y, and Z, and I'm scared because I don't know if I'm going to be able to achieve that.
So how do you retrain your brain? You mentioned you have to do that because it kind of sounded like you're kind of spiraling downward. How do you retrain your brain to let go of all of that?
It's hard. It is, like, it's been like very difficult to retrain my brain, because before a lot of hardships in the sports, easy to be sitting in class and, you know, you doze off, you start thinking about running, and I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm going to be so good. I'm going to work so hard. Like I was born to be a runner. It's easy to think those positive thoughts when it's going well, but when things aren't going well, it's the opposite. It flips. And, we work with a sports psychologist on campus. His name is Bobby Lowe. So he helped me recognize that I was having more self-defeating thoughts, not just while I was running, but while I was doing everyday tasks like walking on campus. So every time I have negative thoughts, I have to catch myself and think, no, like I was meant to be a runner. Like I'm fast. I'm talented. I'm here for a reason. I can contribute. And it's like a broken record. It almost feels like you're lying to yourself sometimes. And then writing in my journal every night, I write down tons of these affirmations every night. And it's hard, but soon enough it becomes habit. And now when I'm running a workout or running a race and it gets hard, instead of my thoughts defaulting to, man, this sucks, this is so hard, I don't know if I can finish, I have 2 miles to go, I'm breathing so hard, my legs hurt, it's thinking, taking a deep breath, thinking, no, I can do this, I'm smooth, focus on my form, run with these guys, I can do this. It's proactive thinking. So it's a lot of work, it's a lot of training. It's the sport, people ask what percent of your sport is physical, what percent is mental. It's 100% physical and it's 100% mental. You can't do one without the other. And you have to train as such also. It's easy to neglect the mental side. And I think the mental side is something that Creed has gotten really good at. And that's why he had such a good last year under Coach Istone, because he was training his brain more than anything.
Do you feel like that, Creed? Do you feel like that's what made the difference this past year?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I, just like Davin, like I had my ups and downs, trying to feed the positive side of my brain instead of the negative side. And particularly around championship season, this cross-country season, indoor season, and outdoor season, I was able to, like, really dial it in with our sports psychologist and be like, all right, workouts haven't been great. Like, I've been negative in workouts, like, what do I need to work on? Like, and I know what I need to work on, but I just need someone else to tell me that, because it's easy to forget. It's easy to get discouraged when training isn't going perfectly. But Davin doesn't give himself enough credit, because he's going to be really good this season, and he's probably more dialed than I am right now with his mind. So he's going to be good. So
I'm excited for you guys. When you look ahead beyond BYU, what do you see? Do you guys see Olympics, pro running, marathons? Do you think that far ahead? Because maybe it's just one race at a time at this point, Davin.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's, like, the perfect question for me right now. It's hard. Like, I came in to BYU as a freshman, and, like, running is, like, top of the totem pole. Like, this is what I love to do. This is what I'm passionate about. Like, I want this to be my career. I want to be a professional runner. I'm watching guys like Connor Mance and Clayton Young and Kenneth Rooks. I'm training with these guys every day. So I'm like, all right. Running professionally and getting paid for it is a possibility. Coach Istone has done it himself. He's an Olympian. I have the tools. And then my collegiate career has not gone anywhere near where I planned. And obviously, it's still been good, but it's hard now that I'm a super senior. I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, I want to run professionally still. This is what I'm passionate about. But I do need to have a good year for any – so for professional running, you're not joining like a team.
Yeah.
It's a company that reaches out and says, hey, ASICS wants to sponsor you. Nike wants to sponsor you. Brooks wants to sponsor you and say, hey, you're running well. We want you to represent our company. So for me, I would love to run professionally. I am always thinking about what's next, the Olympics, World Championships, or even just running a marathon. But yesterday, I went to the career fair, the STEM career fair. I'm a computer science major. I'm a nerd. So I may not seem like it, or maybe I do seem like it, and I'm not aware of myself. But I went to the STEM career fair, and I was like, man, I really don't want to get a real job next year, because running is like playtime for me, and if I can get paid for it, then that would be sick.
You're not ready to give it up.
I'm not ready to give it up at all. But I felt like I needed to go to the career fair and like – get my foot in the door just in case.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, open up some opportunities with my degree, and I'm going to bet on myself. I'm always going to bet on myself to run well enough this year to get a professional contract and keep doing this for as long as I can. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to prepare for any scenario, because, like, who knows, maybe you never know. Maybe you get in a car crash and break your leg and you can never run again. You know, like, that's happened to plenty of people. And if I don't prepare for any scenario, then it could set myself up for a lot of regrets. But long term, I want to run pro, yeah.
I think that's smart. And then Creed, you, Devin pointed at you when he talked about Brooks. Is this a company that's reached out to?
Yeah. So I've kind of been more on that scene a little bit because Davin has cross-country eligibility left and I don't. So I've been training with our pro guys, that the professionals that train with Coach Istone. So Coach Istone coaches the BYU team, and then he coaches a group of people who are running professionally, like Clayton Young, Connor Mance, Casey Klinger. Those are the marathoners. So I've been training with them. I'm doing Chicago Marathon in about a month from now. And I've been lucky enough to have Brooks reach out and give me an NIL deal. So kind of have my foot in the door with them. Hopefully I can go professional with them after my eligibility is up.
But I don't think it's been announced yet, but I think by the time this drops, it will be announced, right?
Yeah, it'll be announced, I think, in a week or two. Officially.
Oh my goodness. Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, it's exciting.
How does that feel? How did that feel when they reached out to you? Because that has to be amazing.
I mean, it's kind of funny because everyone here at BYU is working their butt off to get a degree, which will set them up for life to get paid so they can support their family. And we've been running for the past 10 years with zero financial benefit. So feels good to finally get some financial benefit out of all my hard work. And that's not why I run. I run because I love it. And it's what I love to do. But
it's a bonus,
to get to get paid is definitely a bonus. So it's awesome. And I'm super grateful for Brooks for betting on me and hoping I'll be a really good marathoner. So it's been good training with the guys. And I'm getting my butt kicked, but it's fun.
That is really, really cool, Creed. Davin, you both train side by side. How do you balance, as brothers, being competitive and supportive?
Yeah, I feel like being a twin, especially in our sport, is like a superpower. If you look, there's actually a lot of successful twins out there in running, especially. And it is easy. I think in high school I learned how to separate other people's opinions on us and how they compared us with just like being happy. Because I feel like Creed was always the faster twin, for example, and I was always like more injured and always kind of in his shadow, which was really hard for me the first couple of years of high school. And I had to learn like, okay, like it doesn't matter what people think of me. Like I'm my own runner. I know we're twins, but like we're different people. We're different runners. So one, I had to learn how to not compare myself with Creed and realize that I'm on my own path. I have my own trajectory. And I can still be super happy for every ounce of success that Creed gets. The reason why I think it's so powerful to be a twin, that's one of the hard things to overcome that you need to be successful as a twin. The reason why I think it's so powerful to be a twin is because, one, you have a built-in accountability partner all the time. So, like, if Creed's getting to bed early, I'm like, oh, shoot, I need to get to bed early and recover. Oh, Creed's eating healthy, I need to eat healthy. Creed's doing an extra 10 minutes of core tonight, I need to do an extra 10 minutes of core. So we're just stacking. We're making each other better always. And another reason why I love being a twin in the sport is for both of us, we've both been injured a lot. So we've both had, I think, 12 seasons at BYU. That's cross-country season, indoor season, outdoor season. And I think we've only raced 4 or 5 of those seasons together. So one of us is hurt at those points. Which is, it's very difficult to be hurt, but it's super nice when I'm hurt and Creed is running like a baller. Like this last track season, I was injured, but he was running so well. And I'm like, I can do that. Like, it's like almost like a positive comparison game.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he genetically has the same makeup as me. It's sick to see him run so well because I know that that's where my potential is too. And I know that I can get back there after I get healthy again.
Mm, that's really cool. BYU runners, both the men and the women, have two of the best coaches in the country, in Coach Ison and Coach Taylor, who have each led teams to national titles. So, Creed, how do each of those coaches motivate you differently?
Yeah, for sure. And I think me and Davin are a special case. We have kind of interacted with Coach Taylor more than most guys on the team have because the teams are pretty separate. We don't see the women's team very much, and unless you go out of your way to interact with them, then you don't really know them. But obviously we're married too. Our wives are on the women's team, and because of our situation with our injuries, with our pubic bone injuries. We've kind of reached out to Coach Taylor a little bit because the women do different training compared to us. Like, Ed has a lot of his guys do lots of running, lots of mileage. Like, that's kind of the basis of our program. It's like, you run a lot of mileage. If you get hurt, that sucks. And we kept getting hurt, and we're like, well, we're good. We're talented. We just need to figure out how to stay healthy.
Yeah.
So we kind of took a little page out of Coach Taylor's book, and what they do is they do, like, half running, half cross-training, whether that's elliptical or swimming or biking. Mm-hmm. So now we both do, like, I'd say 60% running, 40% cross-training. So it's been super cool to, like, bounce those ideas off Coach Taylor and Ed. And Ed has been really good at kind of changing our training and being adaptive because he kind of had his one mold for how to get good. I was running a lot of miles, running hard, and that's how he got good. He's an Olympian, so it worked for him. Why wouldn't it work for everyone else? But he's been really helpful at adapting our training and realizing that maybe that isn't the right thing for us and we just need to stay healthy and dial back some of the running. And it's been super cool. And it was a long process, but it's been working out for us, and it's been super cool to see the progress.
So you guys get the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's incredible. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, Creed and Davin will talk about the importance of family, overcoming adversity, and how faith and grit help shape their lives beyond the track. This is Royal Legacy. It's all about the girls on Her Why. We're giving BYU female athletes and coaches the mic. And trust me, they've got stories to tell. From game day grit to personal triumphs, we go way beyond the field to show you who these incredible women really are. I'm Lauren McClain, and yes, this is the other podcast I host. Catch Her Why wherever you get your podcasts.
And now back to Royal Legacy and your host, Lauren McClain.
Welcome back to Royal Legacy. I'm Lauren McClain, here with BYU runners, brothers, and two-thirds of the Thompson triplets, Creed and Davin Thompson. So as I mentioned, you guys, you're not just brothers, you're triplets. Your sister Sage competed in gymnastics at both Oregon State and Utah. Davin, what's it like sharing elite sports careers across different schools with your siblings?
Yeah, it's super cool. I feel like growing up, Sage, our sister, was like so elite at her sport. She was always so good at gymnastics. Phenom. Got tons of attention for it early on in life. And she kind of set the bar for us, like, athletically as a family. Because I was always like, dang, she's so good. Like, I need to find my niche and get good. So I was always super motivated by her to work hard and to be disciplined in my sport. Because she was literally from the age of, like, 6, she's going to gymnastics practice, like, 7 hours a day. Like, it was crazy.
Wow.
So she definitely set a high bar for us, and I think we have always looked up to her and her discipline and her hard work. And, yeah, she committed to the University of Utah. We committed to BYU, so kind of that rivalry there, but it's super friendly. And we love sharing success with her, and she's awesome.
Well, to be recruited by the University of Utah for gymnastics is no joke. They're pretty incredible. I was going to ask you about the rivalry, Creed. Did the BYU-Utah rivalry ever come up in conversations at the dinner table, or how did that work out?
Luckily for us, the University of Utah doesn't have a men's track team. So, yeah, it hasn't ever really been a big issue. I think my mom has always been a huge Utah fan just because of their gymnastics team. Mm. But, yeah.
Did your mom do gymnastics?
No, a little bit, but not much. But, yeah, she's just always, I mean, driving my sister to gymnastics and just been a huge fan of the sport. So. And then she, after having kids, she started running marathons and half marathons for fun. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it hasn't been a rival. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Davin, did your love for running, the two of you, did it come at the same time, or do you two have different stories?
That's a good question. We definitely have different stories.
Here, I'm going to tell this one.
Let's hear it.
My perspective. So we actually grew up as a wrestling family. My dad's side of is really good at wrestling. My older brother is really good. He's like national champ in 8th grade, multiple times state champ in high school. And we just loved soccer. So we quit wrestling in elementary school. We just played soccer all day. That's what we love to do. And we started running in middle school. And it was just, we wanted to be faster for soccer. So my mom was like, oh, you should do cross country and track. So The only reason why we did it was to be better at soccer. We actually didn't care about running. But then we started winning everything. We'd finish the line, across the line together every race. And we got so nervous for races, like to the point where we wanted to throw up. We're like, Mom, I can't do this. Like, I'm so nervous for this race. And after a national meet in eighth grade, we weren't really sure what running was going to look like. And then my mom made us go to a cross-country team meeting going into high school in ninth grade. And Davin kind of decided, he's like, I don't want to run. Like, I'm done with this. And I was like, oh, I'll run. Like, I'll be on the team. Like, I don't want to go to every practice. Because practice was every morning at, like, 7:30. I was like, I'm still more committed to soccer. Maybe I'll go to practice, like, twice a week. But other than that, I want to focus on soccer. But Davin's like, no, I don't want to run. It's not fun. I'm just going to do soccer. And then I basically convinced him to do it with me. And then he broke his toe, so he didn't run that season. Yeah. But I kind of had to force him into it a little bit more and encourage him to come. And we encouraged a lot of our friends to come run as well. But so we definitely didn't start off loving it, but I think we were super good at it. We were super talented. So it's hard to not love something that you're good at and
that's
winning
so true.
At. And with a good team culture like we had at our high school at Sky Ridge, it became really fun because most days you're just going on an easy jog with your friends. It's just like hanging out with the boys. You're just having banter and conversation for an hour during your run. So it really became really fun for us.
So, Davin, was it the – because Creed was mentioning that you guys would almost want to throw up before races. Mm-hmm. You were so nervous. Was that – what initially turned you off, like, I don't want to run anymore because it's not worth that.
Yeah, no, I definitely enjoyed, like, practice and hanging around the guys and stuff. But that was, like, 100% the reason why I was a little bit deterred from the sport is because I would get so nervous. And you get nervous for a lot of reasons. A lot of it's, like, you're scared of, like, the pain. But, and in middle school, We were always good at running, like even in elementary school when we do like our yearly fun run, we were both good at it. And in high school, I feel like the culture and the people is what helped me to love it initially. Mm. And that season I, like for like 2 months, I broke my toe so I wasn't running. But I still showed up to practice and just hang around. I was like, oh, this is actually really fun. I love the people. So I think the people is what convinced me initially. Mm. And that season, that first cross-country season of high school, I was playing a lot more soccer. Creed was on the varsity team. I wasn't on varsity for cross-country. So usually I would race and go straight to a soccer game, but Creed's race would be after. I'd run like the freshman race. Creed would run on the varsity race, so Creed would miss a soccer game. So I was playing more soccer our freshman year than Creed was. And then – so he was kind of won over to the sport that fall, and then – after that soccer season, I was like, actually, I think I'm done with soccer now. So it was about 6 months earlier that Creed was fully converted to be a runner, and then I joined him.
Yeah, and granted, Davin was always the better soccer player. He's left-footed, so he was very valuable.
Yeah.
So I think having the taste of greatness in running really, like, caught my attention faster.
But running still won you over eventually.
It did. Yeah.
Creed, what does it mean to your mom to have all three of the triplets competing at such a high level?
I think more than our achievements, I think she's just proud of having kids who have something to work towards that they love and can teach us how to work hard and have good morals and meet good people. I don't know. I obviously don't have kids, but I think that would be a huge part of raising a kid, just making sure they're a good person that has something they'd love to do and can work hard toward. So I obviously she's our biggest fan. She comes to every single race, goes to every gymnastics meet. She has posters of our heads that she holds up and always cheering us on. But yeah, I think she really just loves the people that it has brought into our lives and the things we've learned from it.
I can't imagine how proud she's of you guys. Davin, did being triplets shape your identity growing up, or were you guys pretty individual?
Yeah, we were for sure shaped by that fact. People would always ask us, do you like being a triplet? I'm like, I mean, yeah, but I also don't know what it's like not to be a triplet. So I've never experienced that. Growing up, we did everything together. And then when Sage got really good at gymnastics, she was always gone. But, I think, like I said, the accountability thing earlier, all three of us were always holding each other to a high standard. And we're always just raising the bar of success. And it really helped us to be disciplined and work hard. And I think being a triplet, like, in school, just made it so everyone knew who we were. Like, oh, the Thompson triplets. And Sage would always get mad when people would ask if we were twins and we'd say yes. She's like, no, you can't say yes. We're triplets. You have to tell them we're triplets.
What about me?
Yeah, what about me? So she always felt left out. But I was almost too scared to, like, correct people, you know? A lot of times if people come up to me and call me Creed, I just roll with it. If it's, like, a short interaction, I'm like, I'll spare them the embarrassment and pretend to be Creed for 30 seconds. They'll never know. But when they do find out, that's when it's like, oh, yeah, this is awkward now. This is extra awkward.
I'm sure you guys have a lot of stories like that.
Right? Oh, yeah.
People mixing you up. What about your coaches now? I mean, I feel like I can even already tell the difference between the two of you. So you probably don't get much of that anymore, right?
If Coach I. Stone listens to this, hopefully he doesn't hate me for the shade. But low-key, sometimes Coach I. Stone still just says Thompson. He's like, hey, Thompson, come here. I'm like, do you even know which one I am, bro?
Foolproof.
Or,
you can't get it wrong.
Yeah, if we both, like, get a haircut at the same time, then I'll, like, see him whispering to, like, one of my teammates, wait, which one is that? I'm like, bro, I can see you whispering over there. But he's gotten a lot better, I think, especially since we've split up groups, because I'm training with all the college guys right now. Creed's training with the pros. Yeah. So I think he's gotten to know both of us a little bit.
Yeah, and there's another set of twins on the team, the Stanford twins. Mm-hmm. And I think he has a harder time with them than us. So they probably get the brunt of it more. Stanford, go Stanford. But he doesn't know which one it is.
Yeah, we're at, like, the airport, and he's handing out everyone's, like, plane tickets. And he's like, Stanford, and just hands them both to one of them because he doesn't know. It's so funny.
Poor guy. He's doing his best.
Yeah.
Creed, when you go home to Lehigh, now especially that you guys are married, what does a family meal look like at your mom's house? Is it chaotic?
Oh, yeah, super chaotic. So my mom got remarried when we were 12 years old, I believe. My dad had passed away the year before. So we have 5 step-siblings, and all of them but one are married, and three of them have kids, so super chaotic, but it's a blast, and we all kind of show up whenever we can, depending on, like, our church schedule or whatever we have, so it's kind of, like, come and go, but it's super fun, just my mom and my stepdad making a big meal, showing up and eating, doing our laundry, just having fun, hanging out with family. It's super nice living close to home still. I can't imagine being out of state. That would suck.
Mm, and having such a big family is so fun.
I imagine, like, people probably think that with, like, elite athletes, like, in the family, you, like, get home for Sunday dinner and, like, how's gymnastics going? How's running going? But I feel like I never talk about running. It's almost like my time away from the sport is with the family, and we just hang out, play with my nieces and nephews, and just have a good time.
So fun. Let's talk about your dad a little bit. You guys lost your dad to cancer when you were 11 years old. Davin, what impact has he had in his memory each time you step up to race?
Yeah, he definitely has a huge impact on my life, in life and in death. I think something that I'm super grateful for, first off, is the gospel and always having the knowledge of the plan of salvation and that I'll be able to see him again. I feel like in a lot of households and a lot of cultures, if a loved one dies, there's a lot of fear of the unknown. But I think I'm super grateful for the church and this gospel to know that I will see him again and that families are forever. So first off, super grateful for that. And I know he's out there watching and supporting us from wherever he's at. And I think every time, honestly, in daily life, all my actions, I want to take advantage of the time that I have on this earth, because he was pretty young when he died. He was like 39, I think. So I want to take full advantage of the time I have on this earth and make him proud, because I know that he did a lot for us and he sacrificed a lot for us. And when he was on his deathbed, he was fighting for his kids every day. Mm. And at the Autumn Classic, when I crossed the finish line, I kissed my hand and pointed up to the sky, and that was kind of for my dad, just an ode to him. And one of my mental cues, like I was talking about earlier, running so mental, that I tell myself during my race is I'm relaxed, I'm confident, I'm Thompson tough. And that's for my dad, because I know that what he went through with cancer had to be infinitely more painful than anything I ever did on the course running. So he definitely motivates me every day.
And Creed, your mom also battled breast cancer while you guys were growing up. What does her resilience, what has it taught you?
Yeah, I think that was tough. Kind of the PTSD with my dad, obviously. I think she got breast cancer our sophomore year of high school. And she was so tough. She just acted like it was no big deal. And I think she really just was doing it for us and really wanted to be there for us. And it's inspiring that there's things bigger in life than running. Family is huge. The gospel is huge. And that's really what motivated her to fight. And, yeah, it's just inspiring that she could just battle that like it was nothing, get through it, because she's a beast. So super inspiring.
You guys have incredible parents. Davin, has overcoming adversity made you grateful for running as an outlet?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, life's hard. It's hard for everyone. Everyone has their own trials. And there's trials with our family life, with a history of cancer in our family. There's trials in school. School's hard. Running is hard. And I think it just makes you – it has made me more humble and grateful. I think trials can make you – it can harden your heart and make you resentful towards God and towards your circumstances and the situation. Or you can soften your heart and be grateful for what you have and be grateful for what you are blessed for. So I think having an attitude of gratitude just goes such a long ways, not to be cliche, but – it's honestly everything, because you can victimize yourself. Anyone can victimize themselves for so many things. And I think that's just the easy way out. If you're looking for the good and being grateful and attacking life, getting what you want out of it is the best way to go about it.
I think that's amazing advice. Creed, how do you feel like your family's story shapes the way you represent BYU?
Yeah, I think our story is a little unique, and I just want to – it makes me want to just love everyone, and because you never know what anyone's going through. It makes me want to love everyone and represent BYU and show people what BYU really is like. I think there's some stigma around us, and I think people realize that we're really just normal people that work hard, representing Jesus Christ and trying to be as kind and Christ-like as we can possibly be. And I think that's the best part about representing BYU on our chest every time we race, is just being the team that everyone wants to talk to after, because we're super kind to them and inspiring to them. So,
and it helps that you're really good. BYU's also really good. All right, let's get to a few more fun questions. Davin, I hear you love cooking. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
What's the best dish that you cook?
I would say that I'm probably known for my bread. It's not necessarily a dish, but I love making sourdough bread, white bread, cinnamon bread. I think my grandma taught me in Creed how to make sourdough in like freshman or sophomore year of high school, and we will both have been making it ever since. We also have been gardening a lot this summer, me and Creed.
Really?
With one of our teammates, Lucas Bonds. Shout out, Lucas. So got some fresh peppers from the garden, chopped them up, made some cheddar jalapeno sourdough. So
that sounds amazing. Good, Do you ever bring it to practice? Share with your teammates?
I give some to my teammates. I've taught a few of them how to make sourdough. So
that's tough.
Yeah.
That is a tough thing to do. Now that disc golf, Creed, is banned from your repertoire, what's one of your hobbies you like to do outside of running?
That's a good question. don't tell Coach Iced on this, but we still go play a chill round of disc golf every now and then.
Let's chill. Let's chill.
I won't tell.
Mostly just hanging out with friends and playing board games, just things that won't beat up my legs at all for training. Or like making food with friends as well. We're hungry. We run a lot, so we're always super hungry, yeah. And making good food is super fun. So
last week we made homemade chicken pot pie for one of our teammates, James Corrigan. He just had a baby. And his favorite thing is chicken pot pie. So we made homemade chicken pot pie. We brought it over and just saw the baby and had a good time.
And played some Clash Royale with them as well. That's a big thing on the team
is
on
it?
Travel trips. Yeah.
When we travel, we re-download video games on our phone and play video games a lot because it gets our mind off racing and being nervous.
Yeah, because you can't really do anything physical. You kind of just have to sit there and wait, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, both of you are recently married, like we mentioned, to women from the BYU track and cross country programs. Davin married to Lexi Goff a few months ago. Creed, you're married to Carly Hansen about a year ago. How did those relationships start? I'm assuming you guys probably met like in the weight room or something, met around here, but we'll start with Creed because you got married first. How did you guys meet?
You'd think that we met in the weight room or something, but actually Carly and I started dating in high school. So she ran for Woods Cross. She's from Bountiful. She was always, like, the best. She has, like, 17 state titles or something ridiculous. But anyways, I remember freshman year of high school, I watched her win the mile at state. I was like, dang, she's hot. And then I thought she was older than me, so it was just, like, a fanboy crush.
She's looked the same since then, but in freshman year of high school, we were literally 5'1", and,
you
like, 85 pounds.
Guys.
Like, I could show you my license from when we were 16, and I was 95 pounds on it.
So Carly just seemed like this woman.
Yeah. And then every year I came back, she was still there. I was like, oh, she's my age. That's weird. And I still
convenient.
I still had dibs on her. And then
– yeah, we were – one. Sorry, I keep interrupting, Creed, but one time we were warming up for a race at the Olympic Oval in Kearns, and Carly passed us. And I think Creed made some comment about how he had dibs, and we were all – trying to peer pressure him to ask her out, but he was too scared.
No, I was way too scared to do that. But the way we actually ended up meeting was at Momentum, an indoor climbing gym in Lehigh. Me and Davin were pretty good at big into climbing our senior year of high school. We'd go like multiple times a week. It was super fun. But she ended up being there for some reason. She's from Bountiful, but for some reason she was in Lehigh at an indoor climbing gym with her family.
Meant to be.
And her mom ended up breaking the tension and be like, oh, you guys run for Sky Ridge, right? And then we started talking, and she asked for my number. I didn't do it. I'm a wimp. So that's how
little
we first met.
Little did she know, you'd been thinking about her for years.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
She was living rent-free in his head, just running around.
That's
and
awesome.
Then she went and ran for the University of North Carolina for 2 years, actually. So we did long distance while she was there, and then I finally convinced her to transfer and win a national title, and
we
got married, so.
Best decision she's ever made, I'm sure.
Yep.
Okay, what about for you? How'd you and Lexi meet?
Yes. I mean, I guess technically I met Lexi before Creed met Carly, but it was a little different of a story. So we were friends with some people on the Lone Peak cross country team. That's where Lexi went to high school. And we got invited to their Halloween party. And I was not – we were not cool kids in high school. Me and Creed were just – so focused on running fast that we just didn't socialize a ton. So I was like, oh, it was an ugly costume party. And I was like, oh, cool kids probably don't wear costumes to costume parties, right? So we showed up. I was in like just a hoodie. I showed up with my friends and everyone was dressed up. I was like, oh, dang, we look so stupid right now. And Lexi was dressed up as a drunk mom. And her friend was an Oompa Loompa, I think. And I thought she was cute. We were talking, and I think we were talking around the campfire for a little bit, and we ended up hanging out a few times. Lexi asked me to one of their dances in, like, February, like, preference or something. So we went to a dance together, and we were good friends, but we never ended up dating in high school. She was a year younger, so I was about to graduate. I graduated, came to BYU, started running, and then I saw that she committed the next year, and she will claim that this didn't happen, but I did comment on her Instagram post and said, let's go or something. And because she always claims
double
that I just,
meeting.
Yeah, she's like, you ghosted me for 3 years. You ignored me. But Now I was waiting for the right time to strike. So we were friends for the first couple years of college, and then I think a year and a little over a year and a half ago, we started going out again. It was February 2024. Is that right? Yeah.
The rest is history.
And then, yeah, I guess a year and a half after that, we got married. So we've known each other for a while. Didn't date for 5 years like Creed and Carly, but yeah.
Well, as you both know, because like you mentioned, you're sure your mom was like, as long as my kids are good kids and they're working hard and doing something. But now that you're married to runners, is it hard not to imagine your own kids one day kind of doing what you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to force it upon my kids, but I think
you're like, Jeanette,
I'd be a little sad if my kid did not choose to run. But yeah, I mean,
at least one, right?
I'd hope I would encourage them to do what they love, but I would really like them to run for sure.
That'd be awesome.
Hopefully, growing up watching their parents run will inspire them to run without like them pressuring themselves to be good at it. But I also am biased. I think
formulating this.
Yeah,
brain,
I've been
right?
formulating
How can I do
a plan. Have you seen King Richard with Serena and Venus Williams?
I have never watched
it. Oh, it's actually crazy. She, like, their dad made a plan before they were born and was like, they're going to be the best tennis players in the world.
Whoa.
And it worked.
He manifested
it. So, I'm not going to be that crazy, actually. But hopefully they run. I'm also biased because I think cross country, like, a lot of kids that run cross country are wholesome and they're into good things. So, hopefully they make the right friends, too. Yeah.
I would love it. My last question for you guys, and we'll start with Creed. What does it mean to you to have the Thompson name connected to BYU cross country history and track and field as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think just the legacy and the history behind this program is legendary. Coach Istone winning multiple NCAA titles, and now with people like Connor Mance, Kenneth Rooks, James Corrigan, all these Olympians that are kind of in the limelight on the world stage. I think it's super cool to come through this program and make a difference. I think not everyone has the opportunity to make a difference on the best team in the country, and we're really grateful for Coach Istone and Coach Waite for buying into us and dealing with all of our problems and helping us become the best runners we can be. But yeah, it's super cool to look up on those record boards and seeing my name up there a little bit, so it's cool.
Davin, what about for you?
Yeah, it's super cool. I mean, I feel like in sport, in general, all sports, people have very short-term memory. So I'm sure in 10 years, maybe less, they'll forget about the Thompson name. Hey, maybe I'll still be running professionally, so people will know. But
that's right.
Yeah. Hopefully our times up on the top 10 board will last long enough to where people will look, who's Davin Thompson? Oh, he was on the winning team in 2024. Yeah. So
your names will always be there in the national championship books.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. I'm here with Davin and Creed Thompson, All Americans, champions, and brothers. Thank you guys so much for coming on and sharing your story with me today.
Of course, thank you for having us. This was so much fun.
Thanks so much.
Annie Robinson helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.